Anywhere from Ropella to Ropella is all acceptable, as long as you don't go Ropella.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Justin Ropella. We talked to him about being out as fuck in all the different ways that one can be out and why we do that.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
It's always.
And Molly Glover.
I have nodes.
And, I just have a cold.
I am perfectly perfect in every way. And as is our guest who's here with us, Justin Ropella. Ropella. I did it wrong. Oh my god.
It was like the episode all over again.
No, my embarrassment should stand on record. Oh my god. For some reason, it's a simple last name and I can't get it right.
It's not even offensive because it has happened with every person throughout my entire life. I get it.
I know, but like, I get Glover.
People mix up Glover?
People say Glover.
That's like Clover. Yeah. So like, I too have a name that seems like it should be super easy to pronounce that people get wrong and it astounds me. So anyway. And our guest, Justin,
he is
here to talk about being
Justin,
like...
Justin Ropella.
Yes,
Ropella.
That's the one. Yeah.
Who is the husband of friend of the show, Andrea Wilkins.
That's right.
Andrea Ropella.
Yeah, now you guys are learning because you have to introduce her.
That's right. Yeah. And you're here to talk about being like the most out you can be in all your... In any way you can be out, being out.
Do you think I could call this episode Out As Fuck?
Yeah.
Out AF, kids.
I'm gonna pull a titty out. Let's just do this. Everything's out.
But because you're an atheist.
I am.
Obviously. You have...
Well, that's not so obvious.
He said obviously, listeners, because there's a 666 tattoo on his forehead.
Yeah. Well, because Justin, you sent in your answers to our 5 questions in the past. You listened to the podcast. And not in a, like, I hate these guys. Well, maybe not in maybe in an I hate these words way.
Do I?
Yeah. But, and so, and you've been out in a lot of different ways over your course of your life. How are you out now? How do you define yourself as out?
Well, the things that I am most out about now, well, really everything, but the things that I consider myself to be are an atheist, queer, and a feminist. That's a huge one, especially for, I think, people in our demographic a lot of the time. Sometimes that's a touchy word. I am one, proudly.
Queer men especially.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a lot of baggage there.
Absolutely, yeah. And a liberal, a Democrat, actually a Democratic Party... Even a registered Democrat, so that can be touchy sometimes too with people in our kind of spheres. But
yeah, there's this whole thing these days, and I've had this problem too, where people are like, "Well, you voted for Hillary, that criminal," and it's like, "All right, yes, I did, but I also voted for her knowing what she was and what she did and didn't stand for." You, sir, seem to think that you voted for an imaginary person.
Well, and I mean, I myself don't necessarily identify as Democrat, even though that is largely how I vote, like 95% of the time.
You're registered as a Democrat.
I've also been registered as a Republican in the past.
That's true.
That is one I've never
heard. That was just to attend their
Yeah,
their
that was to vote in a primary.
He did that as a
fuck you. But I voted independent, too. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I get why there'd be a stigma against being, like, super out as a Democrat. Even though that doesn't necessarily seem like an endangered class of people in any way.
Right. Well, and it's interesting that, like, once you kind of hit a far left zone of an identity, you sort of are expected to uphold much more extreme left positions on a lot of things. Like, I am, another thing I'm out about, I'm a monogamist. Like, that's another thing that once you get too far left, people sometimes are like, oh, well, you know.
Oh, sure.
You fuck anyone all the time. You want orgies and crazy.
And while I am a registered Democrat and identify that way in terms of voting, like, I definitely do have a lot of socialist leanings. Like, I mean, I was obviously a Bernie supporter before. Before the primary was over. So, yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's an interesting kind of world to be in when you have all of these identities. And go ahead.
That was for them. Being out as a feminist is something that I have recently come to grips with. Because as listeners of the show will know, we used to always joke about how our show had two feminists and you won't be able to guess who they are.
And once upon a time, one feminist, and you wouldn't necessarily... I didn't
identify that way. And a lot of it was because of RadFem and what is now TERF, Trans-Exclusionary RadFem, which is still one of the reasons I get a little... bristly with the word feminist, but I think a lot of people are taking it back, and so that's something
isn't the problem with identifying as a feminist or identifying as a Democrat, and I too identify as a Democrat
and a feminist,
and my thing about being a Democrat, I mean, I usually say I'm a liberal because I am a liberal, and there are many times where I feel that the Democratic Party fails me as a liberal.
Absolutely.
But I still feel as a liberal, they're the best game in town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, when you sit there and you evaluate the other, quote, parties that call themselves liberal and say, well, do they really serve what I think, the things that I think are important? And the answer comes back, well, no. I mean, I can agree with the grassroots party on the legalization of marijuana, but then what are they going to fucking do?
Right.
You know, so I think, you know, it's the same with feminism in that the feminism or liberalism is a major umbrella under which a lot of things fall. And so you kind of have to go, well, what's the basic idea behind feminism? And if I agree with that, then even if there are dicks who are feminists, I have to go, but I still agree with feminism. It's the same thing with atheism. It took me a while to identify as an atheist because I had some friends who were atheists who were fuckers. And I fucking hated them. And I'm like, I don't want to be an atheist until it finally occurred to me, you know what? The fact that they're fuckers is not a function of their atheism.
Right.
It's a message that you could pass on to people who are Christian, who say things like, oh, but the Westboro Baptist Church aren't real Christians. I'm a real Christian. They're not real Christians. It's like, sorry, you kind of don't get to pick.
Right.
Who else uses your terms to identify, especially if it's technically correct?
They're still Christians, and I really like the... So Republicans came up with a term called RINO, which was Republican in name only, which was something that was adopted by people who felt abandoned by the Republican Party, especially during the Tea Party years and now with President Asterisk and everything. So my uncle's one of these people, my Uncle Tom. He considers himself a RINO. He's always been a lifelong Republican, but he's a liberal Republican. And so there's no space for him now.
Yeah.
Because he was a fiscal conservative social liberal who just voted Republican because there was a time when it wasn't all about punishing gays and trying to lock up women's uteruses. And so now it's this like... I kind of do this fino thing, or it's like, I'm a feminist, but it depends. How are you going to get there? Atheist too. Like, yeah, I'm an atheist and I'm very outspoken. I even consider myself anti-theist, truly. And I think most of us here do, really. I mean, I think everyone at this table thinks that religion is harmful more than it is beneficial.
Yeah. The organization and the ideas, not necessarily the believers.
No, the dogma, the religion, not the religious.
The organization.
The idea of it. But it's hard to...
As our good friend Greta Christina says, religion is a bad idea.
And it's hard to, when people hear that I'm an atheist and they're like, especially when they hear of a podcast, like, so do you just talk a lot about how there's no God? I'm like, well, I mean, no,
kind of.
I don't know how,
I think that, why we talk about it, I think is an important question. Yes. Like Justin, why is it important to be outspoken and to see, to be counted?
Well, I think that, like, for me, it's been, a direct result of kind of knowing my own privilege, right? Like, I've grown up, I'm a white guy, I grew up middle class, I'm middle class now, I'm married to a woman, like, I have all of this societal privilege stuff. Right. Cisgender, like, there's all kinds of things that I have going for me. Yeah, I belong to some minority groups as well, but they're, none of them are visible. So, so to me, having the sort of privileged place, being in that position of power in society already, I feel a sort of, you know, need and responsibility to be able to take those words back, because, like, I remember long ago, I think before we were really too close, Molly, you and I remember arguing with you on Facebook about the word feminist.
I remember that too, yeah. Because I was like, feminist is a dirty word, and I don't like it. And you were like, you are one if right. you think women are deserve equal rights.
You don't want to be lumped in with these other people who...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my stance on that has always been, like, don't let those people have it. Like, the thing that you are, and know yourself enough to know that is a word that applies to you, and take that word back and say, like, no, we're not all like that. We're, mm-hmm. That's not what this is. Like, I'm a rational person. I am a sane human being. I'm mm-hmm. responsible. Like, when it comes to atheism, you know, there's all of this just kind of witchcraft horror show bullshit about it, which, I mean, witchcraft itself is not even a big deal, let's be honest, but
well, it'd have to be real in order to
but, like, if somebody's practicing Wiccan, it's not like they're evil.
What's the worst they can do? Like, I don't know. Slowly nothing. Drive up the cost of sage.
What's the worst they can do? Spend their own money and time. Trust me, I did that.
but I grew up in a very Catholic family. Thankfully, my parents themselves were never incredibly religious. Like, they would bring me to what was called CCD. So I had to go through that, and, you know, my dad went to Catholic school, but he comes from a Polish Catholic family with a lot of Republicans in it. Some of them are wonderful, not the Republicans, but the other ones.
Nick and I actually officiated yours and Andrea's wedding, mm-hmm. and we met both your sets of parents, and your parents are lovely people who are genuinely kind and caring, and listeners know that Andrea is trans, and mm-hmm. like, they, that wedding was a place of love and amazing acceptance and kindness. That, like, pretty much from the ceremony down to the end, I felt I was bawling. I will just admit, I was, like, crying like a bitch. But
everyone was.
It was, and so, I mean, Catholic, Schmatholic, they have the truth of Christ in their hearts. Yeah. It really is.
I always think that my dad, I think that he's an atheist. He won't ever say it, but I think he is.
I kind of feel the same way about my dad.
Your dad is, yeah, your dad. Yeah.
My mom has always, she left the Catholic Church. She did. She left it now. She was a Lutheran growing up. She converted for my dad when they got married. And once that Archbishop Nyenstadt, several years ago, was mailing out DVDs to parishioners detailing the horrors of gay marriage.
So even before his, like, he covered up all the molester scandal here, this is a local Archbishop here.
Yeah.
So even before that,
I know it's hard to believe that any local bishops covered up molesting scandal.
Right. Yeah.
But this one covered it up extra special.
This was back when I identified as a gay man, and it was probably like 2007 or 8 or mm-hmm. so, and she just got so mad, and she
good
called the church, and she was like, "You are not going to tell me how to vote, or that my son is going to hell, or that my son's doing any of this bullshit. I'm out. You're not getting a dime more.
I want to go hug Jane. Oh my god!
What an incredible waste of money and effort, and, you know, just resources altogether. A non-profit organization that's supposed to be about charitable works, doing good and helping those in need, ostensibly. Mm-hmm. That's why religions have, you know, tax exemption, more or less, is to be a positive impact in the mm-hmm. world. And I just don't feel there's any tangible benefit from that. I mean, also, it's bigotry and retarded. I mean, not the word.
We're trying really hard.
Sorry.
We really are.
That's been, like, the first time in, like, a year. It's a bad idea. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Question. How do you guys feel about people, I've seen this recently, people who come out as Christians who feel that they need to
fuck them.
Right? Like, or here's this. I saw this recently too. Coming out now as a Trump supporter or someone who voted for Trump because they finally feel safe enough to say something.
I wish they wouldn't.
And they feel like I read this post. It was a public post. Someone shared this post of someone saying they lost the popular vote. So that makes them the minority. Hold on. So that makes her a minority. And so she needs to speak her mind about being a minority. As a Trump voter, she feels persecuted.
Oh, whatever.
So here's a question. Like, can you come out as the dominant culture?
I mean,
you fucking can't. I'm sorry, you're the guest, and I shouldn't speak on you. But what the actual fuck?
No, that is
it's definitely like me coming out on Facebook and going, "Oh, everybody, I'm sorry. I finally feel comfortable saying this. I'm a white man."
Yeah, I think that it is bullshit to a very large extent. I think the one bit of validity I'll give that is that if it's something that you have not publicly discussed in a way that is not a visible identity before, then there is some reasonable information there to share. However, it's bullshit.
You're talking about...
It's co-opting to me.
Yeah.
Being a part of an invisible minority or an invisible group. I'm dyslexic. Molly, you're on the spectrum.
I'm also bisexual and married to a man.
Right. So, I mean, these are examples where...
I know, right?
Where... And maybe less of a coming out and more of a reveal is a thing there. To play, like, shitty devil's advocate...
to play devil's shitty advocate?
No.
Are you advocating for the shitty devil?
I am being the shitty devil's advocate. If the goal is to have a society where people are accepted and the differences are celebrated and recognized, and also there's a matter of, you know, maybe assumptions not being made about a person's gender, about a person's sexual preferences, their personal beliefs in God or what have you, and disabilities for that matter, is there ever a point where... where outing yourself as a part of a majority is a desirable thing because we don't want people to necessarily assume like heteronormativity.
We
by this defaulting of you could say white cis het culture,
which I think is something like 80% or something.
Right.
I mean,
so there's to some degree there's a reason why people might make an assumption that someone's straight unless they've heard or realize otherwise, and that might not be necessarily like an ideal
or like thing. In Jeffrey's case, if they've talked to him,
sure. Is there ever a time where, you know, if we make sufficient advancements or even is that the goal to have a place where people aren't making assumptions about things that you don't necessarily know about people?
I think that ultimately is the goal. Like, that would be, I don't think it's ever going to be really achievable, but that would be great. You know, if you can walk into a conversation with someone new and not make any assumptions based on how they look or who they're with or what they do for a living or whatever it is, if you can just kind of not unconsciously assume everything first, that would be wonderful. And there are times, I think, that coming out as a majority, even if it's a majority, it might not be a majority within the circle that you're speaking with. Like, for me... you know, monogamy is one of those things. Like, most of the people in the world are monogamists. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a relationship like mine, where I'm a queer guy who identified as gay for a long time and then kind of got a little more fluid.
You love one woman.
Right. And then you know, my wife is trans. And so there's a lot of, like, fluidity and transition and movement between sort of the ways that she and I have experienced our own identities in a lot of ways, that I've had a lot of people make the assumption that then that must extend elsewhere, and it doesn't there. It does not extend.
So you must be poly, or you must be...
Right, because a lot of people who are in relationships like us are.
Sure.
A huge amount of them are.
Did you, Tim, you've been on the Fest circuit a long time, at the circuit. You've been working at our Renaissance Festival for a long time. You've been in those people. And Renaissance Festival people...
You've been in those people.
Renaissance Festival people, by and large, tend more toward open relationships, polyamory, just sort of a fluidity...
Tend more than the average.
Tend more than the average, I would say.
That's actually something I encountered more in the science fiction community.
Once I started running convergence,
and so many people that I knew that were involved in convergence, and a huge percentage of the people who run convergence are poly.
It's a very big poly community, specifically in like a triad.
At that point, it became unusual that I was involved with the people that I hung out with. Mm-hmm. It was almost unusual that I was involved in a monogamous relationship, and that I wasn't even at all interested in a poly kind of relationship. So that was weird. It was weird to discover that type of relationship, but it was important. I mean, it was a really big learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. It was a really big moment of going, you know what? I have lived a sheltered life in that I've... What my understanding of relationships is clearly... I mean, it's right for me. When I encountered this other type of relationship, I was like, nope, not interested. But...
Same.
It was still... it was still... that moment of discovery of there are people who engage in a relationship in a different fashion, and that is neither good nor bad. That is what's right for them.
So that's a situation where someone who is in the majority, as it were, I mean, monogamy is the majority, has to come out. Right. I mean, really.
Not even necessarily majority. You could say cultural norm.
Oh, cultural norm.
Kind of what's accepted as...
So maybe not come out, but like sort of announce yourself as not interested in other people.
It's one of the few places where you actually need to sometimes say like, oh, and I am this cultural norm.
Why are Christians feeling the need to, quote, come out? I mean, to me,
they feel persecuted.
That's an entirely different thing. Yes. So, as a monogamous,
they're as persecuted as the gays. Did you know that?
No.
Didn't you hear about all the Christian women that died over Mardi Gras? Oh, you didn't? Because no one did?
Yeah. I'm not going to play yes and with that. Fuck that shit.
So, on people who are Christian or atheist or feminist or whatever who choose not to be out or uncomfortable grabbing onto those words to identify themselves even though they're technically accurate or whatever. I think, you know, Justin, like you were saying, don't let these other groups use those terms and take back ownership of them in the not shitty way. I feel like the advice I've been giving to Christians when they say, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church, they don't represent me, they're not real Christians, is then it's your job as a Christian who belongs to that same group of them to be extra outspoken and to make sure others realize that those aren't your Christians and that those people aren't a part of your group, and do what you can to police your own from within.
And that's something that, I mean, I and a few other women I know have been doing with TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists that we've seen, just being like, no, just straight up no. Like these idiots who make it all about, like, you know what, again, what's frustrating is they think they're on the side of women by saying, oh, we're supporting women, but you're just as bad as the men who are saying these shitty things about us. It's you're on their side, and I feel like it's important to be out about the things that we believe these days, because staying silent to some degree, I think, is how we got here.
Yeah, it contributes.
In America, here being this president's asterisk's presidency and all of the nightmare that's going along with it in his cabinet of horrors. I'm start calling it Dr. Caligari's cabinet.
Yeah, it's the concept of the other, right? And so we're afraid of the other. The other is always the enemy, and whatever it is, that other is always a monster. And if the more people who belong to that group that is considered the other who say that they are part of that group when they are, the more of you are that exist, you know, the more that you're mm-hmm. you're seen and understood, and the more present you are, the less of an other you are, the less of a monster you are, and that's how history heals itself.
The more you're the guy that works in the cube over,
right?
Or you're the girl who serves my coffee every day, as sure. opposed to you're that scary atheist, or you're the gay coming after, yeah, my
or
girls.
Like your like, black neighbor or yep, whatever. I mean, yep. it could be exposure is what leads to acceptance, usually, or at least comfort.
Not if you're a child molester.
please don't expose yourself then.
Yeah. Nope. Not them. I think we can just assume that we're not talking about
molesters. None of us are out about being child molesters.
No.
Tim is
that's
not
a secret.
Out.
That's a secret I'll take to my grave.
Oh, God. What a banner episode for taking things out of context for us. Or in context, in my case.
You know who else takes things out of context?
Pedophiles.
Child molesters.
Yeah. Outside the contextual agreement. For what is acceptable
really
in the age of a sexual
context.
Partner. Yeah. Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, on that note, Justin...
On the note of child molesters.
On the note of child molesters. God damn it. Justin, you answered our most recent five questions in an episode. So you have five questions for us.
Great. I do.
And these are new. We don't know.
We don't know.
We're going in. We're going in blind.
No radio tricks. We literally haven't even heard them yet.
Yeah.
I tried to be as nice as possible.
So when I drop three more R bombs, it's because I hadn't heard the questions. Yeah, no, why?
All right. So number one, what is something you're very proud of lately?
Very proud of.
Come on,
I can say this. And I can even, this is a rare instance when I can actually talk about work. I am the new producer for Star Wars Destiny, which is the very fancy collectible dice and card game. And the reason that they put me on it, or one of the reasons, is because of my crazy attention to detail, my need for schedules. I'm saying this to Justin directly because I know we have the same heart.
Yes.
My sticking to dates and deadlines and organizational abilities are why they put me on the project. And it was really nice to hear, like, as I said some feedback, hearing executives and other people go, oh yeah, that's why we have you on here. Good, good, good. And so I'm excited about
that's
that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I was just on a Disney cruise with my kids, and it was one of their Star Wars Day at Sea cruises, so they had all sorts of Star Wars shit everywhere. My youngest is super into Star Wars, was very excited because they were showing all of the Star Wars films.
That's great.
Now, he's never seen episode 2 and 3 because they came out before he was born. And,
I mean, they all came out before he was born.
Yeah, but I mean, those came out shortly before he was born, and we're like, fuck it, we're not going to buy these two movies.
Yeah.
We had bought episode 1. I don't know why. But anyway, so we don't have episodes.
He hadn't known better yet.
We don't have episodes 2 and 3, and he's always wanted to see them. And since he's gotten interested in Star Wars, he can't. The only way you can buy episodes 2 and 3 is in a box set with the other four movies. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay to buy six movies just so I can have the two I
don't
like.
They don't have
them
on iTunes or anything?
No.
Oh.
So on the ship, they were showing all of them in the theater, and he was super excited. He was going to, like, they started showing him at, like, 10:30 at night, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to see episode 2 at 10:30 at night, and he's like, yeah, but I've never seen it on the big screen. And I'm like, all right, it's fair.
Yeah.
So he goes through all of them, and the last one they're going to show that he can finally see is episode 3, and here's my proud moment. He goes to see episode 3, and he's supposed to meet us later in the day, and he meets us earlier than planned, and the reason is because they got to the big lightsaber duel on the lava planet.
I got the high ground.
And he just was like, I got bored and I was
done. That's how we all feel.
He had never seen episode 3.
He missed
and
when
he
she...
got And he got to the climactic duel between Vader and Obi-Wan and said, no, I'm dead.
He missed when she dies because of a broken heart.
So, it's an official medical robot's diagnosis.
That is a moment where I was proud of the father.
I approve.
His son, that's on great. His own, figured out that episode 3 is a shitty movie.
So he's at least average, is what you're saying. I'm pretty far in Zelda Breath of the Wild.
He really is.
No,
really
I don't
is.
Know. I finished school, and I'm still I'm still pretty proud of that. That's still fairly recent. Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Awesome. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Look, it's a good, it is a serious accomplishment.
I know.
I know all the things you're thinking right now.
Yeah.
And you did a great job.
I know.
He graduated with a 4.0.
That's yeah.
Amazing.
Cumulative
yeah.
over the 2 years.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That is a thing to be proud of.
Just going to school as an adult and not a mm-hmm. child. That's what that is. But, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Still.
An adult who cares.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We smoke just as much weed. I will point that
maybe
out.
A little more. I don't know. Yeah.
All right, number two. What is the best book you've read in the last 3 months?
Ooh. You by Caroline Kepnes. If you have not read this book.
Is it a murder book?
It is not. Hold on. Okay. It is an amazing book. It is narrated by none other than Santino Fontana from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Mm-hmm.
Great.
And it's not just that he narrates it, he performs it. Justin, you need to read this book. You will love it.
Okay.
Okay. It is the new American Psycho. Mm-hmm. It is our generation's American Psycho.
Okay.
It's fucking incredible, and he does a great job, and it is also really well written. Caroline Kepnes has a lot of like Twitter bits in there and stuff. It's not just, you know, straight narration. It's a really good story. I cannot recommend it enough to anybody who likes dark stuff and Santino Fontana.
I like all of those.
I know you too.
And this is a terrible question for me, of course, because I don't do a lot of reading. But I did.
It's because he can't.
It's difficult for me. I did just finish a book that I picked up at Disney World about the making of the Haunted Mansion, which
Ooh.
Is one of my favorite rides.
Do you possess this physical book?
I do.
And may I borrow it?
Yes, of course. It's really cool because it goes through all of the design and it talks about the different haunted mansions at the different parks around the world and how they had to change things in different cool. cultures because they don't think of ghosts the same way we do here.
Sure.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Anyway.
We were just there and went on that so many times.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can borrow it.
I'm in the middle of a Dark Tower reread, and before that, like, I'm on the last book, too, so it's like, so I'm like, the last, like, 10 books I read are all books I've already read, just okay. about, so I have to go back a little ways. I think maybe The Fold by Peter Kleins.
That's really good, too, Klein.
Klein? No, it's C-L-I-N-E-S.
Oh, Kleins.
Uh-huh. It's, It's
the S is silent, Molly.
It's kind of short. It's about a guy
who... He's out about having a
smile. Coming out yeah.
My name is Kleins.
It's like weird science fiction. Like, it's about a guy yeah. that has a photographic memory, and he's sent to go investigate a DARPA-funded project for teleportation. And things go horribly wrong.
I should say that I actually read Caroline Kepnes's You like a year and a half ago. I just reread it. So if it's a new book... I would say that the new book I read was The Nix. It's actually just newly out. The Nix is a sprawling American novel that takes place in like 2011 and 1968 during the Chicago riots, the DFL, the Democratic Convention riots, and then a little bit in the 80s. And so it's a story of a boy and his mother and some weird shit. I don't know. It's good. It's good. But you need to read You.
Got it. No one answered mine, which would have been Alexander Hamilton. All right.
I haven't read that yet.
Is that
I need to read it.
Book that
inspired
okay.
the
yeah.
magic.
Yes.
The vacation book.
I'm sharing in your boners.
Share away because I need to read that. I need to read that one too.
These are cultural boners.
We watched the PBS special that went over all this Hamilton stuff, and we found out all this cool stuff about how, like, the reason that George Washington's rap for Right Hand Man is so, like, we are outgunned, outmanned, like that, is that he's a steady commander, and it was written with a steady beat. And when Jefferson,
it's a slightly older style of hip hop
yeah.
too. He's old school.
And when Jefferson comes back from France, he's been out of the loop, so he's still singing jazz, and everyone else has moved on to rap, right? And so, like, all this
and
cool,
mind
blowing stuff.
Alexander Hamilton's songs, everything he does is this super
frantic,
rapid, super verbose, more modern type of MC.
Trying to cram as many words in as possible because that's
so
what
like
he does.
All the different styles that are used represent like different things within the musical itself. It's super cool.
And it also explains why Jefferson later on gets more quick,
a little bit
rappy.
Yep,
so,
he has to. Yeah.
Huh. I like that. Okay. Yeah. I need to watch that. All right, number three. We are recording this on Pi Day.
Yay!
What's your favorite pie?
Lemon meringue. No, lemon supreme.
Lemon supreme?
Yeah, not meringue.
Lemon supreme's the one with the whipped cream on top of the lemon, right?
Yeah. And it's like meringue. it's like a lemon filling on top of a lemon mm-hmm. cheesecake with whipped mm-hmm. cream. And I could do without the whipped cream. That's just fine. Mm-hmm. Whipped cream is just extra fluff, extra sugar for no, that doesn't need.
You can have the cheesecake part. I'll just eat all of the whipped cream.
Yeah, whatever. I could eat like a bucket of that like kind of gelatinous lemon pie filling.
Fair.
Like that. Give me a spoon.
Sorry, everyone. He's taken.
hey, it can be lime
even,
too.
I can't even judge. We just had probably friends of the show, the Zasteros, over last week and to watch Drop Dead Gorgeous. Yes. And I made a Jello salad and I ate the shit out of that. Why is this so good? Stop, throw it away.
Everything in this is poison to me.
My favorite pie, which I can't get, it's really hard to get a good version of this in Minnesota. You got to find like the diviest of all dive restaurants in the Florida Keys, and it's key lime pie. Real fucking key lime pie. Yep. Yellow key lime pie with a graham cracker crust and just a dollop of whipped cream on the top. That's what it is.
So the pie that I'm out about liking the most is pecan pie, but my secret shame pie is chess pie.
oh my god, gross southern family.
I have southern gross family, and chess pie is like eggs, butter, and sugar.
It's like custard.
Pour in a crust. It's not even custard. It's not
sweet enough to be custard. It's just like
garbage calorie pie. That's all it is.
High calorie, kind of flavorless pudding pie.
It has no flavor. There's not even any vanilla extract in it, for God's sake.
It just tastes like fat and it's sweet. So like,
yeah.
Oh, now I know why you like it.
If you love it, pie day is the day to like it.
It's true. It's true. Show your love today.
Though, like, if we want to go, like, not dessert pies, chicken pot pie.
Ooh, like I didn't even think about chicken pot pie.
So many savory pies out there.
Pie's a good food.
That is. We should have so many pies today. All right, so number four.
I'm going to eat hair pie.
If you could remove one specific side effect of the fact that organized religion exists, what would it be?
Zealotry? Is that not specific enough?
Well, I think, like, what I'm trying to get at is more like something that religion causes, or the fact that religion exists causes. There's some side effect of it being there that then happens. So what would you like to eliminate?
Just to be specific, so, you know, we don't, because, you know, you could go really broad.
Yeah, but
the one I will choose that I've railed on several times in this podcast is something that really bothers me, is blasphemy laws.
Yeah.
The idea that you can persecute someone for engaging in an act that harms literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would just anti-abortion thoughts or opinions, does that count?
Yeah,
I think that's one of the big two.
There are pro-life atheists, but they're weird.
Yeah.
So. I would say the concept that this isn't the best we get, and therefore there's a better life waiting. Mm. So you can maybe treat someone shitty here and then just atone for it.
Right.
So
I apologize. It's cool.
I guess maybe like the concept of atonement and then getting your reward even though, you know, like the movie Dead Man Walking is one of those movies that I feel like is one of the things that was like a mile marker on my road to atheism. Mm-hmm. When I saw that movie, it was one of the first times I realized that not only did I not like religion, or that not only was I not religious, I did not like Christianity and its absolving of that. And the fact that, like, those kids he killed died screaming in the mud in pain. But, you know, it's cool because he said he likes Jesus, so now he gets to go to heaven. So, and I remember being so outraged. Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. I would say absolution.
All right.
All right, number five is... okay, so this one I found on a list of questions to ask atheists.
Oh, good.
Oh.
On a geek-themed Christian website. So thought, you know, the tit-for-tat here. We needed the other side.
Sure.
So, I love the way this is phrased. Wouldn't you agree that if it takes intelligence to make a model universe in a science lab, then it must take superintelligence to make the real universe?
I think that...
How can you argue with that?
If one was to make a real universe, yes, it would take super intelligence. If one was to make a brand new universe, it would require an immense amount of intelligence and power.
Nick,
yes.
Have a look at this book. How did this book get made? Did
look the ink at this just fine fall pocket
from,
watch.
Did the ink just fall from the sky and make itself into words on the page?
Are you saying that a butterfly just made itself?
I guess my short answer is no. That's my long answer is listen.
No we with a but, yes with an if.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that you fail to understand the definition of universe?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick aside, because it's leading questions. Representative Eric Paulson, who represents our district and is a terrible person, he has been doing this since summertime before the election. I keep getting these phone calls that are phone surveys, and they are the most leading questions that you can imagine. They are leading crazy questions with false equivalents. So it's like, don't you agree that Donald Trump is making things better than Hillary Clinton would have because she's a criminal? It's like, hold on. There's a lot to unpack in this question.
Now that we know that Obama is a failed presidency, can't we agree that, hang on a second.
Yeah. Do you agree that Eric Paulson has done what he could to stop the robbers who are stealing money out of our tax funds? I'm like, no.
You mean public schools?
Yeah.
Are you a pedophile or registered Democrat?
Yes. Let me ask you, Nick, when did you stop beating your wife? It's exactly. Like, it's shit like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'll tell you later.
Yeah. No, you won't.
Those were great questions, Justin.
Good job.
Did we answer them to your satisfaction?
You did, yes.
That's good, because it doesn't matter.
No.
Guys, I wanted to tell you, I'm really good at answering questions. Oh, my God, I said it.
You're so brave.
Thank you.
I also have something to say to you all.
Oh, my God, yes.
And that's that this podcast is ending.
No.
This episode, the podcast, but I just want you guys to know.
This is just a real shock.
No, that's more of a content warning. Content warning, this episode's ending.
I'm just going to need a few minutes to get used to this.
I feel so triggered.
Yeah.
Before we end, though, we should mention, because it's only like a week and a half, we have a live show coming up.
Yeah, we do. And we're going to have some buttons and stuff there with us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and stickers. Our very inclusionary Atheist Pride stickers, our Rainbow Geeks Without God logo.
I have one and it's delightful.
They are delightful.
It's going to be 11 p.m. to midnight at the Phoenix Theater in Minneapolis on March 31st, part of Die Laughing for Fearless Comedy.
And we're doing a town hall.
Yes. We're going to just answer any and all questions that get thrown at us.
So if you can come, that's extra great. But if you can't, email questions to us and just put town hall in the subject line.
Yeah, and we'll probably take them off of Twitter as well.
Yep.
It'll
be streaming online.
Yep, you can send them to us at you can send them to either Nick, Molly, or Tim at geekswithoutgod.com or all at geekswithoutgod.com works. Or 5 questions at geekswithoutgod.com also works.
Speaking of, we have like 2 or 3 five questions.
I think we might only have one. I haven't pulled it up, but we are very down.
Yeah, we're way low. So if you have... If you have answers to our current 5 questions, please send those in to us. We'd love to read them on the air. Yeah, we just have 1 set left, so we're gonna do them when we record the next episode here.
Yeah, and maybe this is why nobody's sending them in. Because if we run out of answers, then we're gonna come up with a new 5 questions.
Or maybe we'll just stop recording ever.
Also, one more thing: this Sunday, if you are local to Minneapolis, St. Paul, we are going to be on Atheists Talk Radio.
Oh yeah,
At 9 a.m. ish on AM 9:30.
Although to be fair, it's going to be the Sunday.
I think it'll be after
2 days prior to when this episode comes.
Hey guys, we were on the radio.
shoot.
But you can find it. They put them up as podcasts.
I totally forgot. But yes, you can go look for us. We were on Atheist Talk, and we were delightful, and I didn't say fuck at all.
I didn't drop a single R-bomb.
Don't we have to do one more thing? Because don't we have one more Patreon supporter that got us over
$50? Oh, we do. Yeah. It was...
We do. It's Adam Treese.
Yeah.
Adam Treese. Thank you, Adam.
That's right. Thank you, Tim.
And we're over the limit now.
Yeah, we're over the limit.
We're going to do a special episode.
I think the goal is to do 2 year, and those will be available to all our Patreon supporters.
And nobody else.
They'll just have to listen to us.
Doing exclusive episodes.
Yeah.
It's the way you have to get that stuff.
And so please give us a rating on iTunes or Stitcher if that's how you're listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And if you can answer Justin's 5 questions, you can leave them as a comment either at geekswithoutgod.com or the Facebook post for this episode. Otherwise, we're super out as godless, and we hope you are too, if that's your bag. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, tell us your stories.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I'd like to come out as a white dude.
Boo.
I'm also an atheist.
Yay! We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.